controls there. Okay, Dennis, it's all yours. I see you got a full slate here today.
I do, but we're going to narrow a few of those down.
All right.
On our agenda here, we had five items. We are going to take out the middle two, Everwhite LLC, okay. So number two and number three. We are still needing a report from the Suffolk County Conservation District for their soils report that we do not have yet, so we're going to table that item, and hopefully we get that back on the agenda for the next week.
All right. So we'll start with what?
We'll start with number one.
Okay.
Variance for Aaron Coe.
Okay.
And what he is asking for is ends up being about a 20-foot variance in the rear building setback. For agriculturally zoned property. So we're going from a 50-foot setback to a 30-foot setback. And what his intent is to put in a 60-by-60 shop building right here to store equipment, his snow plow and stuff in the wintertime, tractor, whatever. In close proximity to his house. Mm-hmm. And I had sent you guys several pictures, and from those you can see this building sets right atop of the hill, with the edge of it being basically right in here where it falls, slopes off the creek, and kind of from his driveway it starts sloping off back to the south. There's not a whole lot of extra room up there. The property, the one property owner behind him is J.J. Butler, and I actually had a call from him the other day, did not get his letter for the planning and zoning meeting. It got stuck in a pile of papers. He did not see it, so he still had not spoken with Aaron directly, but didn't seem like I never got a formal letter of any objections or anything from him, just that he hadn't talked with Aaron as of yet. So that was all that kind of come about that. From anybody else, I have not received any other comments on this. This property, as you can see, the whole ranch runs quite a ways to the north, up and around. This property, come here, is what is in Aaron Coe's name personally. The remainder of the property on this side is in the ranch's name, Aaron Coe being a third or fourth of a signer on that. They are in the process of redoing some of the boundary lines here to get that adjusted around where the house is actually sitting. So
on this variance that you sent us, this one here, I can't even find the house.
The house? Right here in this main picture?
That's that one?
Yeah. And then there was
the back of it.
Yeah. And then on another one of those pictures, I had a little blue box that was designating where the...
Yeah, I've got the one with the blue box.
Okay.
And that's where the shop is going to
be. That is the proposed location for the shop.
I got you.
Okay. All right. We went through the hearing at the Planning Zoning Committee. Again, there was nobody that showed up to comment upon this. Planning and zoning staff recommends approval to you with a 4-0 vote. And I guess I would answer any other questions or entertain any other thoughts from you.
What was the zoning board's recommendation? Did you say that already?
To approve.
To approve.
To approve. 4-0.
All right, let me ask you this. There's the blue box. This is the Butler property, right?
Correct.
Okay.
Haley.
J.J. Haley.
Yeah. Haley.
Oh, J.J. Haley.
Yes.
Oh, I thought you said Butler. Sorry.
I might have. Sorry.
Yeah. J.J. Haley. Oh, okay. Gotcha.
I'm sorry.
All right. Is there any reason why he can't move this 20 feet into his
parking area?
Parking area there. And then have a still have the 50-foot setback.
Other than
a nice parking area, I guess.
Right.
Can you make that larger so they can see that up there, what I'm talking about?
Mm-hmm.
Move it to the north 20 feet.
Moving it to the north 20 feet to come into here. Let's try to change this, clear this up a little bit.
Yeah, into there 20 feet.
Yep, come up into here.
That's just a question to, you know, it may or may not be the way the ground sets, anything like that, but to me, I'm just wondering if that is possible.
Okay. Pass that along. He wishes to have it outside of that, just to not take up his parking area. But that's,
gotcha.
Yeah.
Well, I can understand that.
And going through some of the setbacks and stuff, in the smaller acreages on ag zoning, we do allow a 30-foot setback. In fact, I think it's a 20-foot setback.
Really?
I don't have that right in front of me. In the 20-acre or smaller ag pieces. So
they only have to set back 20 feet?
Mm-hmm.
It's just with a larger parcel?
With a larger parcel, it's 50-foot setback.
What kind of precedent does this set?
I know with variance, we look at each situation individually, and I think you can argue circumstance or location or such with that, so I don't believe that it does.
Okay. Gentlemen, questions?
To you.
Comments?
That was my only question, was a Pandora's box, precedent, whatever, but
I think the only person it's inflicting is J.J. Haley, and if he hasn't made a comment,
yeah,
because we all know he would.
And
thank you for your honesty.
Yeah, there's... Yeah.
That is a large acreage that borders.
A very large acreage that borders it. It slopes down off the hill to the south. This two-track road is basically in the bottom of the draw.
Okay.
The present time, there's nothing else there.
Go ahead.
Dennis, did planning and zoning have that discussion about the starting the precedence? Did they discuss that?
A little bit, but in the past that's also come up with a variance is handled individually as it comes about. So there was no feeling that there would be anything like that set.
Is there anyone here to talk on this issue? Okie dokie. Well, gentlemen.
I guess in view of the fact that if the neighbor's okay with it.
But we don't know if he is, right?
We don't know that for sure one way or the other. I had a phone conversation.
He was given adequate notice.
Yes.
The fact that he didn't open his mail is not necessarily our issue either.
That is true. And I had talked to him on the phone, and I hadn't received anything as of last week, so...
Under the circumstances, Mr. Chairman, and based on the fact that the board recommended approval, I'll recommend we approve it, but I certainly understand the points made.
Okay. I'll second that. I would strongly emphasize that next time you persuade them into showing up, the person applying for the variance.
That is true.
I would, yeah, maybe. push that issue a little.
Okay.
It has been moved and seconded that we approve the application by Aaron Coe for a variance of the agricultural zoning setbacks. Any further discussion, gentlemen?
Mr. Chairman, I feel that for myself personally, I think with the 4-0 vote unanimously from the board, I feel we move forward.
Okay. Any other thoughts? There's a good possibility I'll vote against this one.
What was that?
I said there's a good possibility I'm going to vote against this. So I'm just going to throw that out to you there, Jim.
See if we can make them tighter.
We're not going to lunch.
Yeah.
Mr. Chairman, may I ask a question?
Go right ahead.
What I'm understanding is on a variance request that if the neighbors are not against it, that you'll approve
the
request, right?
If the neighbor's not against it, I would approve it?
Well, if you vote to approve this, the statement I heard was that the neighbors aren't against it, therefore it's fine, you will approve variances.
Mr. Chairman.
Go ahead and answer that question, thank you.
You've got to keep in mind, Scott, it was 4-0 to approve it, and that's...
And my comment to that question is it's a case-by-case basis.
I understand, but I'm just...
But Mr. Chairman, if your preference would be to put this off 2 weeks and let the project proponent come in and say why, let him answer your questions. I'm good with that too.
Yeah, I don't have a problem voting today either. So, more discussion, or are you ready for a vote, gentlemen?
I haven't commented yet. I would think that. The neighbor has been given every opportunity to come forward. However, I'm also of the opinion it's not going to hurt to wait 2 weeks to go and make sure that there's not any opposition from the adjacent property owner.
Okay. Well, and I understand that too. It's... Is 20 feet going to make a difference in that amount of acreage? Probably not.
Yeah.
I mean, if you're talking a subdivision or something like that, I guess my issue is simply granting a variance now and then having to be faced with that decision again later down the road. Somebody else comes and wants another variance. 50 feet's 50 feet. I don't know. That's... I understand he wants to put a nice garage there and such like that, but he does have the ability to move that in closer to his. So you have that 50 feet. So I'm not willing to fall on my sword for this. I'm just telling you that this is probably the way that I'm going to vote just because of that, and that's not a problem. So are you suggesting we put it off too, or you want to call for a question?
I'm suggesting we put it off.
Okay, so there's one suggestion to put it off for 2 weeks.
Otherwise, I'll vote no.
Okay.
Let's get this over with, Mr. Chairman. All right. I move the previous question.
Moved. The question has been moved. All in favor, say aye.
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 All opposed?
No.
Me too. 3-2.
3-2.
All right, there you go.
I don't like these things either, so. Yeah.
All right.
Okay. Okay, once again, items number 2 and 3, the rezone of the Brad White's property and the minor subdivision of said property will be tabled until hopefully the next meeting. We can get reports and stuff in.
Okay. Mr. Chairman, should you table?
What's that? Yes, definitely. I need a motion.
So moved.
Second.
Do you know what we just moved, Mac? We just moved to table. We
moved
the
table
to
white.
Yeah. Oh, application. Okay. I thought I was building a new table for
that. River White LLC. I love
that.
Has been moved and seconded that Commissioner Rothauser build us a new table.
Yeah, there you go.
Commissioner room. No, it has been moved and seconded that we table the application by White LLC. Further discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Motion carries.
Okay. All right, this brings up our next agenda item, which, again, kind of discussed this last time a little bit. This is a building permit from Union Wireless, and the location is the existing Union Tower that is west of Barger. In fact, sorry, let me, I should have been doing this while we were having our discussion.
Union Wireless, there we go. Okay.
This is on the very north end of the Barger First subdivision. This tower, this is the lot that the tower is located on. The lot is owned by the High Meadow Ranches Water District. And previously, there was a permit issued for the construction of the cell tower on that site. They're coming back and wishing to extend that tower 20 feet to add an additional array of communication antennas. Let me just get all of this.
We don't have a picture of that with the tower up.
Here we go. So this is the proposal. The existing tower is the shorter tower, and the proposal would extend the tower 20 feet and allow location on the tower.
Yeah. And the beauty of this one is Title 47, right?
Yes, Title 47 of the Federal Communication Regulations for their wireless cell towers has a clause in there that basically, first part of it is the state or local government may not deny and shall approve any eligible facility requesting a modification of an eligible support structure that does not substantially change the physical dimensions of the structure. Go back to their definition of a substantial change is a modification, an increase in height of a tower by more than 10% or by the height of one additional array with a separation from the nearest existing antenna not to exceed 20 feet, whichever is greater. So that is it. That does not constitute a substantial change.
And that is why in the previous permit we kept it at 45 feet.
Yes, because
we knew that they had this option of going 20 more
to 65.
And the key words here are may not and shall.
Yes.
We have no choice.
We have no real choice.
Do we even need a motion in that kind of case?
Well, this is more, I think I brought it everybody as a formality.
Right.
So that everybody could come in and discuss and have a chance to speak.
So I'm going to allow that to happen right now. If there is anyone here that would like to speak to this topic concerning the Union Wireless.
Mr. Bixler, High Meadow Ranch Water District. Union's been great partners to work with. With T-Mobile coming in, it means additional revenue for the water district, which means we don't have to pass on additional fees to our customers. So we're great to work with and agreed to waive application fees for small internet providers to locate LR, NGL, or Visionary to locate antennas on there as well. So they've been great to work with. And
okay.
We appreciate considering it.
Terrific. Anybody else?
My name is Alyssa Blair. I'm an engineering supervisor with Union Wireless, and so I'm here to answer any questions you guys might have on the proposal.
Okay. Any questions for Alyssa? I don't think you have any.
I think so.
Go ahead, Commissioner.
Well, this improves cell service east of Boulder.
It will change the cell service if you're a T-Mobile customer or if you are a subscriber of a company that is a roaming partner with T-Mobile.
But if you subscribe to Union Cellular, will it improve service?
If you subscribe to Union, it should not significantly change our service.
Is Union going to move to the top part of the array?
That's the current plan. So,
so maybe
it might be a little bit. Yeah.
Maybe
I would think so.
20 feet.
I got my fingers crossed.
Okay, thank you. Mm-hmm. Anybody else like to speak to this topic? All right, as a formality, gentlemen, I'll entertain a motion.
So moved. Second.
It has been moved and seconded that we approve the application by Union Wireless requesting a non-residential building permit pursuant to Chapter 4. Any further discussion?
Mr. Chairman, this room filled up a year ago, year and a half ago, about a cell tower. This is not the one that the people were. This is it.
It's in place.
Yeah.
Yeah. Where you been?
Yeah. There were people. This place was full a year and a half ago. And now we're going to raise it, and there's no one here.
I have had three comments on this.
Okay.
They've all been answered questions as to what's going on, explain the regs just a little bit, and there's another provider coming
just
in.
Just learning the process.
Yeah, I was expecting a lot more feedback than what I have received.
Very good.
Excellent. Any further discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries.
All right. Our final agenda item is the final plat application for Spirit Winds Estate. This is the Leaper subdivision located in Bondurant. Again, let me jump back out of here. And you guys have the preliminary plat was approved last year for this, and they are coming forward now with the final plat for this. Through the review, the final plat has been reviewed. We've got the title report back. The fire suppression system is currently being installed. He's got a container which will hold 10,000 gallons of water. They're going to plumb into that. It is buried within the water table so that the water table will charge the fire system. And that's all being installed right now. I think I added a picture of that.
Oh yeah, you did.
Both of those.
Mm-hmm. That's right. I thought that was a shipping container.
It is.
Yes, it is a shipping container.
Well, so I'll be darned.
Supposedly they installed the similar system there at the Bondurant Fire Station.
Okay.
And that is how they're pulling water from there. And it seems to be working real well.
Okay.
All the connections and stuff will be set up as per our fire department regs.
Will they have like a dry hydrant coming out of it?
Yeah, it'll be a dry hydrant.
Okay.
So that they can hook straight onto it and pump from there.
I see. And how many gallons?
There's 10, that should hold 10,000.
10,000 gallons. Do they line that then?
Nope.
You just use a shipping container?
What is the life expectancy of that?
Dump the water. That's just what I was going to say. You dump the water in that.
Yeah. Well, it'll actually recharge from below.
Water from below.
Yeah.
Oh, from
so
the
there, there's holes and stuff in the floor itself.
I see.
So the water can come into that container.
I got you.
And it's buried within the water table.
Well, I'll be darned. That's interesting. Okay.
And one way to go about it. Shad went up and did look at this, and he was happy with how it was going together.
And it works good, obviously, at the fire station.
It works at the fire station. So.
Well, okay. All righty.
Will this be covered, or is it going to stay open like it is?
It will be covered. No, it will be covered.
Okay.
Yeah. And then there will be just a dry hydrant, a PVC line or steel line coming up so that the trucks can plumb into.
So the question is, if it's off, the truck don't fall through it?
It will need to be, yes.
Yeah.
The hydrant's off to the side.
Off the side, yeah.
The covered over looked like natural ground over the pit, but there's a easement for parking that widens the side of the road, so the hydrant would be come out from where the tank itself is, and there'll be an underground line, and then a unit coming out, and the hydrant is actually at the edge of the road.
And it doesn't
over the top of the container.
It doesn't freeze up in the winter. Is that right?
Not in the water table, it wouldn't, no.
Commissioner Bowles?
So, just a question, in the winter, does the water table stay that high all winter there?
It should, yes. What you see right here now is the existing water table. This was last Friday.
Okay. All righty.
So it should stay set, you know, it should have water in it all the time.
Okay.
This is down in the lower part of the property that's, you know, just the bench just a bit higher than the river bottoms.
So that water will disappear.
That water that's there.
Okay. Looks like a leach field.
Yeah.
Yes.
So there's that. The state engineer's office has provided a letter that they had received the irrigation plan and everything from them. It will come up at the May 21st meeting for final approval. So basically it's in the works. These guys' irrigation plan submitted to them. There's no reason that shouldn't be taken care of, and that just affects how the irrigation waters can be used on the lands that will be remaining. I have receipts for the storage tank and the parts for the fire suppression system. Have a receipt for the road base that's going to go upon the road, and a receipt for Lower Valley Electric for the installation of power. We have a copy of protective covenants. So pretty much everything is there, you know, what's required for final approval of the subdivision.
All right. Commissioner Noble.
So this is, what you're saying is the construction is not complete, and they're asking for final approval. And can I ask Scott, what's the hurry? Why do you want final approval before construction?
I'd like to start selling lots. He has a buyer ready to close and build. The county doesn't require that the improvements are in as long as they're bonded for, securities provided for completion of those improvements after approval of final plat. And what Dennis was saying is that instead of a security bond, he's actually already paid, contracted with, and paid for all the materials and has signed contracts for installation of all the required improvements as his security.
Mm-hmm. Which I have no doubt. What is our recourse if something isn't complete?
Within a time frame, we can go back and pull the subdivision permit, per se.
What's that time frame? Do you know?
A year.
Okay.
Well, that if somebody's made improvements on it within a year.
With that, you could still revoke the subdivision itself. But it's common practice to have a surety or have something, and I have receipts for the work already to be done.
Mm-hmm.
So if he's already paid for it, I see no reason why it wouldn't get done.
I just worry about the quality sometimes. I mean, that changes when you've approved something that's not done.
Mm-hmm. And then afterwards, we will also receive a set of as-built plans for the road, construction of the road. It would also lay out where the utilities and such were. So we'll have that set of as-builts coming in also.
What's the timeline for completion on the construction?
Within a year.
So this fall it'll be done?
I'm sure it's sooner than that, but that's what's allowed under the regulations. I think he's got a buyer right now. He's ready to get them put in, just waiting for the snow to come off and which has recently happened and ready to go ahead. I don't think it'll be very long at all before he finishes these, but I don't know his, I don't know what time arrangements he's made with anybody on his, on when they're going to start work on these contracts.
So Dennis, you're just asking for us to approve the final plat application.
Yes.
That's what you're asking us to do.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. That being said.
And that would be recording the final plat.
Mm-hmm.
And recording the final plat.
Yeah. So the final plat application or whatever, if you approve it, you're approving the final plat. The plat will get recorded. Then that way it allows him to sell lots. We have sureties or we have receipts for the final finishing up the construction. And we would be letting him move forward.
Is it? I'm struggling with this internally, so go ahead.
I understand. No, I'm. Next thing I'm just waiting for is entertaining a motion.
Mr. Chairman, I'll make a motion to approve the final plat application for the Spirit Winds Estate Subdivision.
Is there a second?
I'll second it.
Okay. It has been moved and seconded that we approve the final plat application and record the final plat for the Spirit Winds Estate Subdivision as presented. Any further discussion, gentlemen?
Is there any? I don't know.
I understand your reservation, but
it kind of goes back to that same conversation. You're the representative, I understand, but we don't know his timelines or his contractor's timelines or any of that.
Well,
would there be any harm in tabling this for 2 weeks and him presenting some of that information?
Well, again, understand that this is not different. The county regulations allow for recording of the final plat as long as there is security for all the improvements.
I understand.
And they have a year then to improve those securities. And so dealing with the regulations, that's the simple answer. Mm-hmm. And yes, he's going to do it as soon as possible. He wants to sell and he's got buyers in. But the simple answer is that if the county is approving his security, then there's no reason not to approve the plat.
Yeah.
I'm fine.
At this point, we do have a motion on the table, so we're past tabling it. We have to vote on this motion.
I'll just let it. Yeah. Just
all right. And just to add, when Scott was in the other day, the contract that they do have with Lower Valley was just a matter of getting ground thawed out and such like that, just be able to get in and work. So.
All right, there's a motion on the table. All in favor say aye.
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 Aye. Motion carries.
All righty.
Would you like to sign the plat now? Or?
Yeah.
We'd love to.
All right. And then after that, gentlemen, that pretty well wraps up everything that I have, unless you have anything different.
I don't think we have anything for you.
Things
signed a plat.
Okay. Things have been busy. We have been getting a lot of requests in for building permits, septic systems, etc. So
things are kind of broke loose, haven't they?
They have.
You got your special pens?
And I have my special pen.
Okay. Say, I tried to get all this done before we bring it.
Where's it at? I got to focus.
Are we using the same pen? Or?
This one.
Okay.
Yeah.
Some pens work better than others, and this one works well. So.
What's my name?
Hey, Todd.
There was
no time power. Right.
Right.
That was on.
Right.
There you go.
Thank you.
And I don't want to build a table.
It's too late. It already been moved.
Tim, I can't but clearly what was going on.
I had a reason for not going.
I understand your reason.
I didn't like his style of coach.
And I damn near followed you.
First time, Sanders.
Okay, let's see. Where's the one for remote?
I don't get it.
It's right there.
Oh. It doesn't take much.
Feel that?
It doesn't.
All right.
Forget it.
Good to go.
Thanks, Dennis.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Okay. Thanks, Dennis.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Okay. Good enough for you?
Oh, yes. Well, you know, I'm a real, I don't know what I call it, is the fact that I'm a little, you know what I mean, yourself and the board wants to tell us what we should do.
Yeah, a little bit, but you guys can make up your own mind.
Well, I understand this, but unless there's something that's really out there, and we get a call from you, okay, we need to look at this. Because the board's all, they're paying attention.
I think I'm going to take you up on
a bit. You're kind of, if I got something I want to get into, I'll get into it.
Of course, the business doesn't matter.
This guy was
Now you're good.
Thank you.
Can
I
take
a pen? No, no. Not on this one. Susan would have my hand.
Rebuild its table?
Tom, nice to meet you. Tony asked me to follow up with you, see if he was sending his stuff on the. Yes. Is that all going to the right place?
So what's going on as an update for Tony? Is it going to be here? On the very last page. So it's going out waiting for us to all the providers.
Okay.
And we are more than excited to hear from you guys. I mean, between you and I, we think you're probably the most viable. If we can get you guys to join in. Because I know I got an email from Tony the other day. Sounded enthusiastic about Paradise. Well, that's great.
Can we do
we've
that?
Got to go through this.
Yes.
This is going to be
interesting. Yes. No, and I know we just worked with the town kind of similar.
Right. So we're just going through it step by step.
Okay.
You should have that Friday.
Okay. Is that, how is that releasing the Wolby?
Yeah.
Is that so online, in the mail?
All the local providers that we've been dealing with
this week before.
Not corresponding with the last year. Is going to get it. You've been singled out. And then there's all the other companies. It's going to be on CTC's website.
Okay, that's the one you see.
It's going to be on
Just because it's real healthy. I wouldn't do it that way. That's what we did. I wish I had thought of that.
Yeah, no, I understand. You guys have a process to do it.
Yeah, we're excited to see what you guys come up with. I promote getting out of the box. I think that's Massachusetts Park portrayed in that document very well. So if you have any other ideas,
that's fine. You should keep this thing open.
Okay. No, that's
all right.
We'll look for something coming on the 4th and get you can pretty well count on that we'll be sending you guys a response.
And there's, you saw where there's a. Where you're going to get it, I think I'll hang
on. I don't care.
There's a deadline for submitting request RFI questions. There's a couple of procedures that we're going to go through to get to the final.
Mm-hmm.
So.
No, that sounds great. We'll be looking for it on the. I'll let them know it's coming in
I
on the 4th. And we'll
say you guys will get it in more than one area. Email.
Okay.
Letter and.
Well, if not, we'll. Sure. If we don't see it, we'll reach out.
I'm sure you will see it.
Thank you.
Nice meeting you.
All right, Todd, we're ready for you.
Are you sure?
No, but
ready to go.
You better sit
we're
down.
We're not necessarily ready for you, but yeah. Come on up.
Ready.
Very good, short and sweet.
Yeah. I can do that. You know I can do that.
You've done well in the past.
Okay. I got four hot topics on my list.
Give them to us.
No order. Fire station.
Okay.
We got the colors chosen middle of May.
Oh, I'm happy.
Didn't we?
So our interior designer help you with that?
And exterior.
Excellent. Good. Exterior designer helped you with that. Good.
So the plan is to have plans for you guys to review in Shad. Probably more Shad and Mary.
Right.
Call a spade, right?
Yeah, right. Plans for us to review.
Review.
Okay.
Mid-May.
Just approved.
And we'll advertise the first part of June for bids.
Okay. For which?
What's that?
For bids for what?
To
the fire.
The fire station.
Okay. Got it.
Okay. Got to do it. Did you figure out the dormer question?
Yeah, we had that in. I totally forgot, but yeah, we did have that already. Perfect. We already had that in.
Perfect.
The plan.
It's part of the project.
It is part of the project.
Perfect. Okay.
On the south side.
Yes.
Yes, sir. That one is in. And. Yeah.
I have no more questions.
Perfect. So that gives us, you know, the middle of July through September-ish, probably construction.
Okay.
For that. So time-wise, we should be fine. The second one I got is the airport snow removal equipment.
Yep.
I sent you guys out the email. There is no rules against parking them in the hangar as long as the hangar has room.
Yep.
The problem is, sometimes a hangar runs out of room, from what I've been told.
Right.
And what drives that is this equipment has been purchased with a grant, with grant money. And so part of the grant, you have to take care of this equipment for, is it 2 years?
It seems like it's lifetime for talking to the state.
So anyway, that's what's driving the snow removal equipment. Storage building.
So when we do run out of room there in the hangar, is it for an extended period of time, or is it just periodically? Is it something we could just move them out, move them back in?
The biggest problem is the aircraft kind of need a kind of sterile environment. Mm-hmm. If you're bringing this type of equipment in, you've got dirt and all, you know, so it's good to keep a sterile environment for the aircraft,
mm-hmm.
and we have been storing them in there. Mm-hmm. We do have a someplace in 10. Well, we haven't put the mower ever in. So, but we do have a citation 10 that's going to be coming in tonight. That's going to be there for an extended period of time. So everything has to come out.
Right.
And which we've been taking it out due to weather, anyways.
Right. Gotcha. Okay.
But it has. Fortunately, been getting busier, and we're getting more aircraft. We have six in there now, and now with the Citation 10, that's kind of...
Okay.
What is your average rental fee for space in there?
Fixed or a single engine is $15 a night or $150 a month. Double or twin engine is $30 or $300. Our jet is $45 a night or $450.
Is that pretty industrial standard for everybody?
No.
That's no?
No.
No.
So is that low? Or
that's way low.
I was going to say Marbleton's for an RV. It'll cost you more.
We have six currently in there, and so that's, it could probably house about 12 single engine.
Okay. One of the reasons I think the pricing has been kept low is because we didn't have an on-site manager to keep track of, you know, planes coming in and going out. So it's just by call. So I think there was some traffic being missed, you know, that might pull in and want to put in for the night and leave in the morning, that nobody's there, so they just fill up and go on or whatever. Now we have more coverage and volunteer that's there for those needs.
Okay. So back to the, I guess let's go back to the original discussion on this then. Is there some type of financial aid to build this?
There was 2 years ago.
Okay.
And we felt with the federal government involvement, it was pretty excessive about
what you had to do.
Yes.
And what you had to build.
Right.
Right.
And so that's where we kind of backed out, because we had some funds saved up in our account. But
yeah.
Well, we can go out and we can pay for this out of our account.
Yeah.
And go that direction. And that's where we're kind of sitting at this time.
Right.
Not knowing we'd have two hurricanes come in, things like that, where the building costs
are
thrown through the roof now.
Right. So with the government support on the purchase of the snow removal equipment, then, is there guidelines on what we have to build to house
them? They need to be enclosed, yeah.
But, I mean, can it be just an enclosure, or is it, is there a certain...
Nah. Just an enclosure.
Just an enclosure.
Yeah.
Okay. Like a pole bar.
We could do a pole bar.
Yeah. Okay. You bet.
Mr. Chairman, it used to be, I know that airport board and the Pinedale Airport Board would go every year before the Aeronautics Commission in Wyoming and apply for grants for projects. Would this not come under that criteria?
Yes. And it was there. And we had accepted
That's the one
it.
You're talking about.
Yes. We've already been down it, and then we...
It was part of the 5- and 10-year master plan, so it got thrown out when the board decided not to do that
not
for the amount of money. So it's not on the master plan for the FAA any longer. It would be a 3-year process probably to add it back
to get
on.
It back.
Okay.
So
I got you.
How would the, I guess it keeps coming through my head, what is the difference in cost between, if you had a grant, what would be the matching cost compared to what it's going to cost for just to do it?
It was going to be out of pocket, sponsor-wise, I think it was around $30,000. I think it's around 10%. And the total was going to be $300,000. We're living and learning. Right? It would be built and done, and we wouldn't even be talking about it now. So it's like, we should have done it, but we're...
Well, and I can understand why it was taken out, you know. Funds start to shrivel up a little bit.
For $300,000, the size
was... That was for a 20 or a 50 by 50 for $300,000.
With electric.
So that's what we were kind of restricted to. And it was going to be about $120,000 for paperwork, for the regulations and things like that.
It's literally four walls, two garage door openers, and probably eight outlets. No heat.
Right.
And some lighting.
And so what was the price of that, what you just described?
I don't have that price, but I'm going to say in Sublette County, $75 a square foot.
That's counting the cement floor.
That's probably not with the cement floor. We talked about the concrete floor, and what we thought we'd do is throw it in there as an alternate so that we don't have to take it. But if for whatever reason we get a good price, we can accept it.
Mm-hmm.
Do I think that building should be 75 a square? I don't. I mean, but I've been burnt before. So these guys are cussing me because I've thrown that number out there. But these guys sitting at this table also know what it costs.
Been there, done that.
And in the original mindset, I think the board was thinking for $60,000 they could put up a nice and be done with it. They weren't going to pay $300 for the same thing they thought at the time.
I mean, I got quoted $32,000 for a 40 by 60 barn at my house. That's put up.
Yeah.
And that's all it is a pole barn. But it's...
We don't need the concrete. We can have a dirt...
What size?
We
40 by 60.
We need a 40 by 60.
Now.
Okay.
That's what we had drawn up. And originally, before the steel prices started going crazy, we were going to bid it as a metal building with a pole barn option if somebody wanted to come in and there was enough cost savings. But you get to this size,
I've been one in Evanston, and the metal building was cheaper than the pole barn, just because of the spans.
Oh, wow.
And it may still be the case, because you're spanning quite a bit, so structurally it's easier with steel than it is.
So what's going to go inside this?
Snow removal equipment, lawn mowers.
And that takes 40 by 60?
We have two plow trucks, loader, 924 loader,
John Deere tractor.
A John Deere tractor with a 24-foot mowing deck.
Okay. Big equipment.
Yes, we do.
Yes.
So they do have money.
Yeah, that was going to be my question. I thought you guys had in your account enough money to pay for this.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So is this something that you could probably take care of yourselves?
Depending on the price.
Where this comes in,
no.
Right?
If it's $100,000, yes.
Can we get some estimates?
Yeah.
And then we know what kind of money we're talking
about.
Yep. Okay.
I'll call that guy that gave me the quote for my personal one.
Awesome.
And see if I can't get him. She just asked me if I could get him up here, but
yeah. Good idea.
Well, they have to put it out for bid as well, I guess. The board will have to put it out for bid.
Well, let's get an estimate. If we've got a guy that can give us some kind of a ballpark that we're looking at, then you can go ahead and put it out to bid. Yeah. Then we know where we're at.
Yep.
And because the bid, and even if the bids come in, we don't have to accept them.
Sure. Okay.
Okay. Let's do that.
Okay. Conservation District.
It just keeps getting better.
I've been back and forth, and I got to eat crow a little bit, guys. I told you that I thought design bid was the best way to go. I talked to one of our gurus out of our Washington office, and he says, Todd, he says, by doing that, he says, you're giving up quality, and it makes sense.
Okay.
Because we're giving it to them saying, here, we want this built. Well, Joe Blow's going to bid cheap carpet, unless we go through and spec everything that we,
right.
You know, paint, texture, everything, which then you're wasting money and time. So he suggested to do a design and then bring an architect or a contractor on board 30-50% to start budgeting it.
Okay.
And us being part of that team, similar to the Living Center,
CMAR.
Do a CMAR on
right.
But we'll control the budget.
Okay.
Or we'll be part of the budget discussion early.
Well, even with the CMAR, we're at the mercy of value engineering still.
But we shouldn't be. That's what I'm saying.
Okay.
We're going to be involved early.
Okay.
And we're not going to let the architect make them decisions.
Okay.
We're going to make the decisions, meaning you gentlemen and Mary.
Yeah.
At this table.
Mike.
Okay. Mike.
It's Mike.
And Mike. You see what I'm saying? So, yeah. I mean, if there's an adjustment on carpet, are we okay with it? Is that where we want to cut?
All right.
If not, then we...
Okay.
So that's where we're at. I've actually contacted two architects, because you guys all know as well as I do, that's you don't just go and grab one and... They're hard to come up with.
So the architect will do to the design, the contractor will come in at 50%?
Yeah.
Is that what you're saying?
50% and be part of the design, but
okay.
At least as far as the costing of it. Yeah. So that we don't get this thing designed with gold-plated windows
right.
And then wonder why we're...
Out of budget. Yep.
So that's why you bring the contractor in, because he has access to them numbers. He has access to how much this costs. And,
you know, it makes me hive up every time you say architect.
I know it does.
All right.
Trust me, I'm there with you.
All right.
But I've talked with Doobie Molder.
Okay.
They're out of Jackson.
Right.
They're the ones that we worked with on White Pine.
Right.
Which actually wasn't the worst experience.
No.
And then I've talked to Britt. I'm being careful.
We have another project too.
Britt Morgan.
They did the Learning Center.
Doobie Molder did.
Yeah.
Oh, did they?
Back in ancient history. Yeah.
That was before I'm not ancient old.
I am.
And then Brett Morgan out of Plan One in Rock Springs.
Okay.
So
we've dealt with Plan One before too.
They said they're actually doing some work up here right now.
All right.
So I will try to get numbers so that we can select an architect. That's where we're at on that, Mike.
So, Mike, did you get the NRCS on board for sure? Funny story. Huh?
Yes, it's a good story. Monday, about 8:05, you know, last meeting I was going to send an email after. Well, so Monday at 8:05, I got an email from Oregon canceling the RFP. They made a technical mistake. So I called for a debriefing because they offered that. And he goes, we made a mistake in the space we wanted, not in the square footage, but in what they call it or what they're requiring. So the paperwork was off, I guess. Okay. So they're going to look at reflying it tomorrow and closing at the end of May. So my board is in the position right now of, and I talked to Todd late last week, of moving forward. We got to think about number one at some point. So we're thinking of moving forward with the option, or the option of, you know, the second story if we get there, but not to wait till the end of May.
Right.
That's when the things do, and then, I mean, you would.
Right.
We're getting into construction in winter at this point if we wait any longer. So
does that mean you put in the elevator hoping that they'll come?
No, or? It would be an option. So we have two sets of plans that Todd and his crew worked up,
gotcha,
depending on which way we went.
Good.
So we're going to start, we're going to fly it with option A, and correct me if I'm wrong, but option A of just...
Without the NRCS.
Yep, so okay. It's just that... few changes to make us fit.
Okay.
And then if at some point, say in June or so we hear, then we can award or add, make an addition. I don't know what the technical term would be, but say contractor, now you got more to do.
Yeah, gotcha. Okay.
So, yeah, right now it's, typical.
That makes sense.
Typical.
Get started without them.
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah, we're...
And the way we set the elevator up was outside anyway, so that...
Oh, okay.
That makes it easy to add.
Okay.
Even later.
Mm-hmm.
So with the architect, what we'd probably do is we would do the complete design, but only have the bottom, the base, as now.
Okay.
If that makes sense.
Yeah, it does.
Kind of is an alternate, but...
Okay.
But that way it's done, so that even if it's next year or 2 years from now, you've already got the drawings done.
Yeah, that would help.
It's not going to cost you as much.
Because, their lease would come up potentially every 5 years.
All right.
Usually 10, but there's an option not to renew. It's the second five's an option, so.
But they'll have a decision by end of May.
No, that's when the RFP closes.
Oh.
Then you're a month or plus out.
Still.
So, that's why we're not willing.
Okay.
My board's not willing to.
And then sit if around. They do come on board, does that still allow enough time to make the changes necessary this year?
So, what we would do is that would be in the negotiation with NRCS.
Mm-hmm.
It would be at that point that, hey, you know, you guys made this mistake.
Yeah.
Now it's. Whatever the architect or and Todd, you know, the group says, you know, adding this is going to extend to here.
Okay.
You know, that'll be in the negotiation part of it. And where we'll run into is we're kind of on borrowed time.
Yeah.
You know, because the place we're in now, they're trying to downsize. So that's why we don't want to wait. It's because what happens if we wait and the next thing you know, we're looking for another off, you know.
Right.
We took the heart, don't come back with any ask for rent. So we're trying to move forward.
Gotcha. Okay. Do you have to be out of there in any certain time?
No, but right now they're in that holdover status with the building owner, the NRCS is.
Yeah.
And if they're in the process, what I've been able to be told is that they're in the process of downsizing to that 2,400 square foot, which does not include us.
Right.
So.
Okay.
If that happens, you know, there's.
Right.
Depends on how the dominoes fall is.
If that happens, you're intense.
Huh?
If that happens, you're intense.
No. Not yet.
I got you. Okay, Commissioner Burnett.
Have you made any headway on looking into the lease agreement with NRCS when we talked about the increased cost for maintenance should you have to put in this elevator in terms of looking at adjusting that lease cost?
Yeah, we put in the bid package after discussion, and then Mary brought it up. But we added in an annual maintenance fee according to Mary's comments about what this one. And it'll be a different elevator system, mm-hmm. But still we did add annual maintenance.
So they're aware of potential cost to them?
Correct. We bumped it on.
Okay.
Cool. Excellent. All right. Any other comments on that one? All right. Todd, what else? Thanks, Mike.
Yeah, thanks, guys.
See you tomorrow.
Yeah.
We was approached about welding in the 4-H part.
We got that taken care of this morning.
See you guys.
Bye.
Thank you.
Bye.
Call us.
There's four pages right here of white. It's not happening.
Thank you.
just for documentation if you need it.
Okay. Yeah, no, our agreement with QEP doesn't allow it.
Oh, that was easy.
Period. Yeah, it was simple.
Well, it's I talked to my mechanical engineer and or my sub-mechanical engineer, and he says non-combustible building,
yeah,
suppressors,
right,
ventilation,
right,
makeup air, and he says if it's not non-combustible, we're not doing the work. He says we won't touch it because
won't
of liability.
It. Wow.
So it's a pretty big thing, and I figured, but
yeah.
I mean, if they could see mine, it plugs into my barn. And
oh yeah,
I have plenty of weed fires.
They'd have a fit if they saw my welding outfit.
I do have my oxygen and acetylene tied down.
Good.
So,
all right.
Anyway, I think that's all I have. Right, Mary? Did I get it?
Appreciate it.
Thanks.
Thanks,
Todd. Not bad for time.
All right.
Good job. You can have the same order I did.
Well, that's because you gave it to me in that order.
All right, Mary, you're on.
Oh, we're up, huh?
You are up.
I have some props.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. Props?
Good.
Props. She brought props.
We got board. Pillows?
We're in Fort Knox.
Just sitting there.
Oh.
I know sign language.
You are cruising for a cruise.
Well, I just get right? Out down your penis.
My list here, so I keep straight on how I'm going to do this because it's a little confusing. These are
the
existing.
Was supposed to go in front of the chairman.
Well, let's get over here.
You could have Doc's chair.
No, I don't want his chair.
These are the existing election districts and precincts in Sublette County, and there are 8 of them. We currently vote in 6 polling places, and the first part of our work today is that, and I'm going to read to you some, so please don't be insulted. Board of County Commissioners, with the advice or recommendation of the county clerk, you guys and me, no later than the first meeting in May of every general election year shall divide the county into not more than 30 election districts.
Okay.
So, like I told you, you have 8. Each district shall be designated by number. Election districts shall be changed only at this designated meeting. So, we're going to declare these districts. Now, these are the districts that were generated from the 2012 census and primarily are regulated by the lines that were set for our legislative seats.
Okay.
So if you recall, and you can see how this one's got a little different designation on it.
Yeah.
That's where the house seats split. So this is house seat 20. This is house seat 22. So this is Marty Halverson's seat,
yep,
which encompasses those two precincts.
Right.
And then the other Albert. Six precincts are Albert.
So Marty has Daniel Bondra up these
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then Dan Dockstetter has these two precincts. Fred Baldwin's got that part, in addition to the other counties that they represent. Okay.
Okay.
So the first motion that you need to make today is to adopt these precincts. And I would recommend that we stay with these precincts. They, like I said, we don't have a whole lot of choice in the matter. The legislature designates the House seats and the Senate seats, and it was a long, hard fight
Makes
to get where we
just
are.
To stay with the
right.
legislative districts.
What right. is this area here? That's part of Pinedale West?
Yep, it's part of Pinedale West.
Where is
it? It goes down.
That's my house, ain't it?
River Road.
It goes down. Yeah, it goes down the River
okay,
Road.
Okay.
Yeah. Partway down.
You're right.
It goes down to. It picks up like back where.
Swings and.
Yeah.
Yeah, and we're well about down where Chuck
Steel.
Batchelor's at.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh,
down
that far.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, this would be Chuck's down here.
Okay.
So yeah.
So Albert's in that district too.
Yep.
What's that?
Albert
yep.
would be in that
yeah.
district too.
Yep. Albert's in that yellow.
So, Mr. Chairman, I move we approve the 8 election precincts as presented.
Second.
Okay. It's been moved and seconded that we approve the 8 election precinct precincts.
Six.
Excuse me.
There's six.
Saying, I can't get any.
I'm sorry. There's six.
Struggling.
Yeah.
And.
What's I that? Lied.
There's six.
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 Yeah.
Okay, six, Mr. Chairman.
Okay, it has been moved and seconded
seven.
That we approve.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. 7.
There's seven.
Seven.
Cause there
used to be eight.
There's not six.
That's
eight.
How I count. I've been sitting here this whole time counting.
Okay, so
how many
do this?
All right, kids.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8.
Oh, that's because there's two in Marlton and Big Piney. There's
yes.
two here.
Oh, okay.
Because yeah. Marlton.
Marlton.
Marlton
okay.
proper.
The first time.
Yeah, yeah. You had it right the first time.
Sorry, my bad. I just couldn't count.
Well, right. there's seven mm-hmm. colors.
Well, I was. Has been moved and seconded. We approve the 8 precinct boundaries as presented. All in favor say aye.
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 Aye. Motion carries.
Okay, now the next portion of the program is I advertise for a public hearing to consider relocation of the Cora polling place. Okay, so we have these precincts, then we need to talk about polling places, and that's where you're going to go vote.
Right.
Current, and I advertised on, let's see, April 20th and the 27th in the Roundup to move the Cora polling place from the Kendall Valley Fire Hall to the Daniel Schoolhouse.
Did you have any
Kay.
Responses?
I have had no comments. I also am required when I make that notice to notify both of the political parties in the county, which I did. And I had a phone call from Donald Schaefer just for a little bit, concerned about the public being noticed and all that kind of thing. And it's like the public is noticed or noticed in the paper according to what statute requires. If we change that polling place, then I notice all the voters that their polling place has moved. So let me tell you a little bit about Kendall Valley or about the Cora polling place. So years ago, we used to vote in the post office. And in 2006, when we changed our voting equipment from the old punch cards to the current equipment that we have, there isn't enough room in the Cora polling place to set up that equipment. And primarily being I have one piece of equipment that I'm required to have that services the handicapped community. and I have to have enough room to be able to move a wheelchair around that piece of equipment. And there's not enough room in the Cora polling place. So I, for a couple of election seasons, I rented an office trailer and a blue room and a gin set and set them up at the Cora racetrack. And we built a ramp, and that's where we voted for a while. And to the tune of $7,000 a year for that. And I only had it from August to November. Mm-hmm. So in 2012, after we redistricted again, and then we had the Kendall Valley Fire Hall, which is clear up the other end, it's a 20-mile trip from Cora to Kendall Valley. And but we have a beautiful fire hall up there that is handicapped accessible. It's perfect for voting, but it's 20 miles out of the way. I have had complaints every election about that situation. Most of my Cora folks vote absentee because they don't want to make the trip that day. And I don't know, you got family in that neck of the woods, what do? Do you know? Do they drive?
A couple of them do.
It's during haying season. Yeah, you know, I mean, it's problem. November can be a crapshoot. And like I said, we've discussed this at every canvas meeting that I've had. I've had a complaint every election. I've gotten yelled at. And anyway, so this election, and I'll talk a little bit more about what we've also been doing that will help you understand how I got to this. A lot of the people that live in the Cora area, particularly 40 Rod and in that area, which is where most of the population is, a lot of them use the Daniel Post Office. A lot of them, it's closer for those folks to drive to Daniel than it is for them to go to Kendall. And so I've suggested we have a perfectly good handicapped accessible facility at Daniel. We remodeled that building with grant money probably 6-7 years ago. It's handicapped accessible. There's plenty of room, so we can co-locate two precincts there, and they can poll together. And I've talked to a few folks. Maxine was one of them. Maxine gave me the big thumbs up. She thought that was great. I've had complaints. So I would like to move that polling place to Daniel from Kendall.
There is nothing in statute that says it has to be in the district bound or precinct boundary.
It's allowed to be out of the precinct boundary by statute.
Okay.
So let me read you that part. Let me find the right page here. Isn't this exciting stuff? Mm-hmm. It's great.
It's right up there.
It's riveting,
Paul
isn't it?
Stilley's report.
Oh, come on. Really? Okay, polling places shall be designated by the county clerk, who shall publish their location at least once in a newspaper of general circulation in the county within 2 weeks prior to the statewide election, which that happens 2 weeks ahead of the election in August and in November. Okay. Polling places may be located outside of the precinct if the Board of County Commissioners determines and records in its minutes the reasons that it is required by the public convenience. Okay. Then, a polling place designated pursuant to subsection A, which is the part I just read to you, and used in the 2014 general election shall not be changed unless a notice describing the proposed change is posted on the county's official website, which we did, published once a week for 2 weeks, consecutive weeks, in the designated official newspaper, which we did, and the notice shall include the date and the place of the county commissioner's meeting where the proposed change will be discussed. County clerk shall notify the county chairman of each political party in the county not later than 15 days before the meeting. Proposed change in the location of a polling place may be adopted by the county clerk at a meeting of the county commissioners during which the proposed change is discussed. And then further on, I'm required to notice all of those folks in that precinct that their polling place has moved, which we'll do by mail.
Yeah, okay.
And then it will also be in the notice of where we vote when we do the sample ballot ahead of the primary and the general election. So I would like to suggest that we move.
Mr. Chairman.
Go right ahead.
For purposes of public convenience, I move we co-locate Cora 4-1 precinct and Daniel 4-2 precinct at the Daniel Schoolhouse.
Second.
It has been moved and seconded that we co-locate the public polling place for Cora 4-1 and Daniel 4-2 at the Daniel Schoolhouse. Any further discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Motion carries.
Okay, then, with all of that said, I would like for you to, we have to designate the polling places for the entire county.
Yeah.
So let me tell you about those. Currently, and I'm suggesting that we do the same as we have in the last election since 2012. Currently, we vote Pinedale and Pinedale West, Pinedale being 1-1, Pinedale West being 1-3. They vote at the Commons, which is the lobby to the Wrangler Gym here in town. The Boulder Precinct, which is 1-4, votes at the Boulder Schoolhouse. Big Piney and Marbleton. Big Piney is 2-1. Marbleton is 2-2. They vote together at the Senior Center. You've already approved Daniel and Cora to be together, and then Bondurant, which is 5-1, to vote at the schoolhouse in Bondurant.
In Bondurant. Okay. Can we do these all at once?
Yep. One motion.
So moved.
Second.
It has been moved and seconded that we approve the designated polling places for the precincts as presented. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Motion carries.
Okay. Then, the last thing I want to talk to you about, and you guys are familiar with this, because I've kept you in the loop and hounded you a little bit about the future of voting in Wyoming. I conducted public meetings or community meetings in February, and I had a meeting in Pinedale. I had another meeting in Marbleton to talk to the public about how we're going to deliver election in the future. And primarily with that being is that our election equipment is 10 to 12 years old. The technology is becoming outdated. We are losing support for our equipment from the companies. Things are becoming obsolete. We aren't going to be able to find parts, you know, all of that whole story, just like with anything else. So there's quite a movement within the state of Wyoming to replace election equipment. But part of that, the clerks in the state of Wyoming have felt it incumbent upon them to determine what that looks like to the future. And part of it is that back in 06 when I bought election equipment, I had 9 precincts, I bought 11 machines, I did all that. I don't need all that stuff nowadays. We've co-located some of our voting places, as you can see, our polling places. But the other part of it is the technology. One of these, they're called a DS200 nowadays, but the thing you put your ballot into when you vote, I can program 100 precincts on that one machine. So I don't need to have tons of machines. I could essentially, where I have these co-located places, I could have one machine there instead of two. So there's some economies to be had there by co-locating some polling places and you know, making things easier and more available to the public. So there's been a lot of that study. We did a review of our community meetings. We also did a survey, and I think some of you probably participated in the survey. And if you didn't, yeah, I'm not keeping track of your deal. But really interesting to hear what people wanted to do. They really want flexibility. So part of that is the next portion of this is I'm going to talk to you about some flexibility in Sublette County. first thing being is state statute primarily requires that when you absentee vote, those absentee ballots are then delivered to the polling place and they're handled by the judges on election day just as if the public had shown up at the polling place to vote. So they're in the envelope. And I don't know if you've ever absentee voted before. Your ballot's in an envelope. You've signed the back of that. You've sealed it. You've delivered it to the clerk's office. And we account for these ballots going out and coming back in, and we know exactly where they're at all the time. So they come back, we deliver those to the polling places on election day. So initially they go out with our ballots the day before election, but then during election day, if we get stuff in the mail or people come in or whatever, those things will show up. And we have those delivered to the sheriff's or by the sheriff's office to our polling places. This last election, we have about 4,000 voters in our county. We voted 1,200 of them absentee.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
That about put us in the grave getting that accomplished. So we have an alternative procedure that we can adopt, and I'm going to recommend that to you, where I can have an absentee polling place in the courthouse. This absentee polling place, what will happen is there will be three election judges designated. We will continue to gather the ballots. We will keep them secured. And then on election day, these ladies will come in, or gents, and they will open the ballots. They will count them. And then we will include those numbers with our polling place numbers election night. So we aren't sending them out and having them come back. We're going to hold them at the courthouse. We'll do all that tally work there. We'll add them into the other numbers. And then that way, one thing it does is that we can gather those and we don't have to do all this preparation to get them out the day before the election. But the other thing is that I don't have the sheriff's office running up and down the roads all day either, because I already use them to deliver my equipment as well as pick it up. And not equipment, they deliver ballots and pick up ballots and results. But it'll eliminate that requirement. But we can handle that stuff right here in the courthouse. So okay. I'm going to ask you to adopt that procedure. But I'm also going to ask you to adopt another procedure, which will allow me to absentee vote within the courthouse 40 days prior to the election. So I will have essentially a vote center so that you could walk in any time ahead of the election when you're prepared to vote, and you can vote. And that way you don't have to be concerned about being available on election day. Your ballot will be held and it will be tallied at the courthouse. That information, again, is all part of this absentee voting procedure.
Okay.
And I think that it will help, especially our people that are, you know, we've got a lot of far-flung folks in our county, and it will give them the opportunity that they can early vote, and that's what this basically is. Is it's Wyoming's version of early voting, and then we can include that with our election day results.
Haven't you had something like that in the past?
Well, what you can do now is you come into our office and you basically absentee vote.
Oh, yeah.
But you put that stuff in the envelope, and then we send the envelope out to the polling place, you know, and that.
Gotcha. What but this now is, you can keep it here.
I can keep everything here, but you're also... You're voting. We eliminate all that envelope junk.
Yeah,
is part of that deal is because I have to give it to you in an envelope. You've got to sign an envelope back.
Yeah.
Now all you're going to do is you're going to sign an affidavit that says I've absentee voted, and my ballot is going to go in to the machine and be secured, and it doesn't leave. It stays here, and it will eliminate also all of that work that we do ahead of time, because we have to. To handle an absentee ballot, we have to sort them by precinct. We have to make a list of what they are. We have to send them out. Everybody signs. and then, you know, you get some in the mail on election day, so then you're doing it over again. And then you get some that show up at 5 o'clock in the courthouse, and then you're doing it again. So it's we're going to eliminate all of that stuff. So
who in your office is going to do this? If people come in randomly on this?
We'll have we'll designate us as the election staff, and then we'll have the ballots and stuff secure, or the ballot box. Well, actually, what we're going to do is we're going to program one of these machines to vote the entire county. Okay. So you'll get your ballot, and you'll put it in the machine just like you do on election day. Right. Only you'll be doing it ahead of election day.
It'll be counted here on election day.
Right.
Which well, they have
right.
to deliver it to the
right.
precincts.
Right. Right.
There'll be a place to go to fill it out in private.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. And if you've absentee, it isn't going to be much different than what absentee voting is right now in the courthouse.
It's just
because
that it doesn't go to those precincts.
Right. We won't send it out. It'll stay here.
Cool.
And but we'll have booths set up in our lobby like we have in the past. If you've seen us during election time.
Yeah.
We have booths set up, and people go in and fill out their ballot, and then they're putting them in an envelope. Well, you don't do the envelope part. You're going to walk over to the machine and put it in
put
the machine.
In just like you do in your precinct.
Just like you vote, yeah. So that's going to be the difference.
All right.
I have a question, Mary.
Yes.
On the ballot, are there bubbles that say which district?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. All the every ballot is different for every precinct. And particularly in the primary, because we have precinct people, and those are specific for their precincts. But the other thing in the party primaries, the names rotate in every precinct on the ballot. So in the Republican race, for instance, we have to rotate those names. So a different guy's on top every time. We're required to do that by statute also. So the ballots are all different.
I thought it was based on who won the last congressional. Which
that's for the general election. Yeah. The most, well, for the general election, whatever were the whichever party cast the most ballots in your county is on top in the general election.
Someone asked me a question about even though they had parties that didn't have candidates, they went below that in the last election.
Okay, I don't get your question. So
there were, like, they have the Republican candidate, then they had, like, constitutional candidate with the
right.
candidates, da-da-da, all of those, whatever, and then I think the Democratic candidate was probably listed, I don't know, or independent. Maybe.
Independent.
Yeah.
At the bottom.
Yeah, there's independent.
When determines that?
The order
Again,
in
the
which
order
they're listed? Is that what you're asking?
So they had, like, Democrat or Republican Democrat, and then like two parties that had no candidates, and then the independent candidate below that.
Right, and the independent goes on the bottom.
Because really, the independent isn't a party.
Right.
So that's why independent would go at the bottom.
Yeah.
And that's standard in every county.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep. Yeah, and see, it's going to be different this time because the Libertarian Party and the Constitutional Party, you'll see them at the general election again. In 16, they had major party access to the ballot. They don't this year. They're minor parties. So they'll select their candidates by convention and notify us. So you won't see them at the primary. You're going to only see them at the general. But it goes by the major parties, the minor party, independents, and then you have to have a write-in also. You have to leave a write-in line. So, and that's set by statute, the order of the ballot.
Okay.
No, it
yep,
is.
That's it.
It is a common misconception that independent is a party.
Well, and in some states
not.
It is.
Well, can be.
Yeah, but not in Wyoming.
But it's,
yeah.
It's not a designated party.
Yeah, because to be an independent, it's got to access the ballot by a petition in the general election. You won't see them at the primary. Okay. So.
So now.
Do you want me to read to
you,
or do you get
me?
It?
Are you ready for a motion?
I'm ready for a motion.
Let's
and,
do that.
And the motion that I would like for you to consider is the adoption of alternative procedures for casting, collecting, and counting absentee ballots. Okay.
Written right there, whoever wants to make the motion.
Mr. Chairman, I would make the motion that in accordance with Wyoming Statute 22-9-125, approve the adoption of alternative procedures for casting, collecting, and counting absentee ballots.
Second.
It has been moved and seconded that we adopt the alternate procedures of casting, collecting, and counting absentee ballots. Any further discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries.
That's
You're
it.
Set for election day.
Yeah. Just got to get my new equipment here.
Is it on its way?
It's supposed to be here the 15th.
Okay. Woohoo. Exciting.
So when is the primary?
Primary is the 21st of August. Filing starts the 17th of May. We file through the 1st of June.
Okay.
And
okay.
Let the games begin.
Yeah.
Cool. So what we're going to... Oh, Andre, you got something for us there, buddy? Oh, okay. Waiting for us to finish.
Yeah, when you're not, I was just going to talk to you just to prepare you.
What's that?
I was going to prepare you for a phone call.
Come on up. Come prepare us.
I thought we talked about this.
What?
No phone calls.
Yeah, no, I know. I just, you might get a phone call.
All right.
So.
Bring it on.
Yeah, well, Don's being laid off right now. So,
oh, gotcha.
And I know that you were on the thing as a reference.
Oh, okay.
So,
no worries.
Yeah.
So, understand.
I just wanted to let you know you might get a call.
Okay. Yep.
That was it. It was easy.
Is what it
That's
is.
That's why I was just
yep.
waiting.
All right. Thanks, Andre.
Not that major.
All right. Yeah. Right. No, it's not. So what we have planned now is we are going to adjourn our meeting. And then we're going to go over to the Harris kickoff meeting update. And the reason that we're adjourning here instead of over there is because we will be making no decisions and there will be no business conducted over there.
Excuse me.
We're just going to be over there getting filled in on the Harris kickoff. And all of us will be there. So, but no business will be conducted. Does that work for you? Okay.
So we're not going to come back here.
Actually, no, we're done.
Okay.
Our meeting is adjourned. And I'm not going with you.
I've got to be up at the school at 4, so I'm not
going to be there.
It may not take that long. And
might not be done.
I have to tell you, I set this up this way because I didn't know how many of you would go to that.
Right.
If three of you go, then...
Right, if three of you go, that's why she noticed it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because there'd be three of us.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yep.
So we're not required.
Well, yeah, we are.
Yeah, and I'm riding with you.
Yeah.
Can't go fishing.
We can't go fishing.